Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. On Mondays, we like to bring you something positive to get your week off on a good foot. We call it good vibes. Today's good vibes come from a baby, a cute little guy named Wyatt, who is a week old today. Wyatt's dad is CNN's Anderson Cooper, who injected a bit of joy into the news cycle last Thursday night when he announced on TV that he was a new father with the help of a surrogate. Anderson, who was once my co-anchor on ABC's World News Now, or as they call it, my TV husband, he's lovely. But he's always been a fairly private guy. He shared more about some of his emotional hardships recently. You may know his brother took his own life in front of him and his mom, and his father died at 50 during a heart operation, and his mother, with whom he was very close, passed away last summer. In many ways, he was sort of the end of his family's line until last week. In a touching announcement where he teared up a few times, we present to you today's good vibes from Anderson and Wyatt Cooper.
It's been a difficult time in all of our lives, and there are certainly many hard days ahead. It is, I think, especially important in these times of trouble to try to hold on to moments of joy and moments of happiness. Even as we mourn the loss of loved ones, we're also blessed with new life and new love. So I just wanted to take a moment and share with you some joyful news of my own. On Monday, I became a father. Never actually said that before out loud, and it still kind of astonishes me. I am a dad. I have a son, and I want you to meet him. This is Wyatt Cooper. He is 3 days old. He's named after my dad, who died when I was 10 years old. I hope I can be as good a dad as he was. My son's middle name is Morgan, which is a family name on my mom's side. I know my mom and dad liked the name Morgan because while I was going through her things recently, I found a list they'd made 52 years ago when they were trying to think of names for me. Morgan was on the list. So that's Wyatt Morgan Cooper, my son. He was 7.2 pounds at birth, and he is sweet and soft and healthy, and I am beyond happy. As a gay kid, I never thought it would be possible to have a child, and I'm so grateful for all those who paved the way and for the doctors and nurses and everyone involved in my son's birth. Most of all, I am eternally grateful to a remarkable surrogate who carried Wyatt, watched over him lovingly, tenderly, and gave birth to him. It's an extraordinary blessing which she and all surrogates give to families who can't have children. My surrogate has a beautiful family of her own, an amazingly supportive husband. I'm also so thankful for all the support that they have given Wyatt and me. And she has kids of her own, and I appreciate their support as well. My family is blessed to have this family in our lives. I do wish my mom and my dad and my brother Carter were alive to meet Wyatt, but I like to believe that they can see him. I imagine them all together, arms around each other, smiling and laughing and watching, looking down on us. Happy to know that their love is alive in me and in Wyatt, and that our family continues. New life and new love.
Today's good vibes, courtesy of the Cooper family. And what struck me, and maybe you as well, was Anderson's heartfelt thanks to his surrogate. Gestational surrogacy is something that maybe hasn't been as openly talked about as IVF or adoption, but it can be an option for those who can't conceive and want to have a family, if you can afford it. To be clear, it is very expensive. And each state has different laws surrounding how it can or if it can be done. Now, you might think New York would be a leader in this area, but nope. It was just a few weeks ago when New York State overhauled its surrogacy laws, enacting new legislation that gave those thinking about surrogacy some good news. Here to walk us through it is Ellen Trachtman, attorney specializing in reproductive assistance and co-host of the podcast I Want to Put a Baby in You. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you for having me. First, I have to dry my tears after listening to Anderson Cooper give that talk. It's beautiful, and I really love how he thanks the surrogate, especially. Absolutely beautiful.
What did you think when you first heard about this New York's new legislation?
I was excited. It was surprising that New York has been so far behind for so long, where most of the country accepts that gestational surrogacy is an acceptable way to build a family. And yes, it's a good idea to have certain protections in place to make sure that everyone is respected and cared for. But for New York, for so long, to still view it in a very different way and to criminalize it has been absolutely surprising. And even the few holdout states in the last few years had been reversing. So we saw New Jersey reverse their law to have a very accepting surrogacy law. Washington State used to be not permitting compensated surrogacy, and they changed that as well. So it was surprising during all of this that New York, who, you know, everyone looks to as this great progressive state that, you know, is really respected, was so far behind when it came to this really important area of building a family. And it was, you know, disheartening to see year after year where, at least especially last year, where it came so close and everyone believed the votes were there and the governor was so supportive, and then to fail at the last minute. So, you know, we were very hopeful for this year, and it was good to see when it amazingly passed. And I should note, I'm not a New York attorney, but have been able to talk with some of those leading the field in it, and really pushing and putting all of their time and effort to help provide families this way forward in New York.
And just
so it's been very exciting.
To be clear, when we say gestational surrogacy, what are we talking about specifically?
Yeah, great question. So there are generally considered two types of surrogacy, gestational and what they call traditional or genetic, which are names for the same thing. So back in the day, and actually the big scandal case that led to New York criminalizing surrogacy was a traditional or genetic surrogacy case where the surrogate was also genetically related to the child, meaning she went through an IUI or an artificial insemination where someone else's sperm was used, but it was her egg, her genetics that formed that child. When we talk about gestational surrogacy, the surrogate is not genetically related to the child. Instead, it's through an IVF procedure, and an embryo unrelated to her is transferred to her body. So she's just carrying the child so someone else can have this child, but not genetically related to the child.
So previously, what were New York's laws previously, prior to last week?
Yeah, so surprisingly, before last week, and actually still until this law goes
until February 2021,
yes. So it's illegal still until it becomes effective to engage in gestational surrogacy that's compensated. And even if it was compensated, the law prevented the recognition of gestational carrier contracts. So even if it was completely altruistic and your best friend had volunteered to do this for you and you entered into a contract, the law would not recognize that contract. Aside from surrogacy, there was other really failing elements of the law. So, for example, those who might turn to a sperm donor, if you were a single parent, there was no way under New York law to terminate the rights of a donor as a single parent. So you were always at risk of there being some kind of obligation or responsibility for the donor, or them trying to assert having responsibility for that child.
So it's been interesting. By the way, my guest is Ellen Trackman. She is a reproductive rights attorney. Some prominent feminists, including Gloria Steinem, oppose this kind of legislation, saying it commodifies women, it could lead to exploitation of certain women. What's your response to that?
It was shocking, really, to hear a feminist that many of us had respected and turned to and really believed in take this position on surrogacy. And in some sense, it's understandable when you look to other countries and some poor practices that we have seen abroad where women might be taken advantage of, where economically they feel like they have to turn to surrogacy to make money and then are not treated well. But that was never the practice in the United States. And it's really surrounding New York, everywhere else has really grown this very supportive area where, you know, gestational carriers, like how Anderson Cooper refers to her, are very well respected and honored and thanked for this beautiful gift for those who can't have a child otherwise. So it was surprising to see Gloria Steinem she even cited an old report from 20 years ago, and a more recent report from New York, their New York task force, had shown that, you know, that's not the current practice today, that women are respected, that they are taken care of in this process. And even just the element of her supporting that the government should be telling women what they can or cannot do with their bodies was just, you know, frightening to see. That why is the government telling me if I want to be a surrogate, if I want to help my best friend, then I'm not permitted to do that. So, you know, I'm just very happy that she did not prevail in those views, and we're still surprised that she had them.
I do want to point out there's something in the law that they're talking about a Bill of Rights in the New York law. Mm-hmm. Why and what's entailed in these Bill of Rights, and why is that important?
Yeah, I think, and that goes to that fear that someone who is acting as a surrogate might be exploited or mistreated. So the Bill of Rights in New York's law, and they're the first state to have this Bill of Rights, or at least to call it that, makes it clear that there are certain rights that the gestational surrogate has, so that if she enters into this process, that she is protected. So some of those areas include rights to make medical decisions for herself. So there is a fear that you're entering into this contract to act as a gestational carrier, and there is this these rights that are now confusing, where it's their baby in your body, but you need to be able to make decisions about your own body. And so the Bill of Rights, for example, made it very clear that she would be the one making decisions about her own health. And that's very important, because it can be scary if intended parents might be overbearing about certain tests that could be invasive, that you want to have that much control of your body that you're not being subjected to extra unnecessary tests, for example.
My guest has been Ellen Trachman. We've been talking about New York's new surrogacy law. Ellen, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thanks for having me.